This is what happened. It was a very cold day. Now, I don't know what difference does it make in the story that it was cold or not, but that's what the story says. And the Baal Shem Tov, it seems he got into his wagon alone. No Talmidim and no driver, just gets into his wagon. Of course, he's got horses, and the wagon is going to go somewhere. As the minute of the Baal Shem Tov, did he have a map? Sometimes he didn't have a driver. He just said, he sat back in his wagon, and the horses go by themselves. And wherever the horses take him, that's where he's going to go. And the horses now go with the wagon very far away to a very small town in the middle of nowhere. It wasn't a Jewish town. It wasn't a big city. There were fields all around. And there were, you know, not too many houses, not too many people. And the Baal Shem Tov's wagon stops. And there is a little shul. And the Baal Shem Tov hears, inside of the shul, a lot of tables and chairs. And he smells food. And he sees over there is a caterer. And they're setting up tables. And there's a beautiful head table set up with three places. At the head table were three places. You know what the head table is? You know where the most important, there's some kind of a simcha going on. And the head table is where like the important people are going to sit that have to do with the simcha. And then there's a lot of other tables set up. Not as nice as the head table, but you know, nice. And there is a boy dressed up in a new suit with a little hat. Ooh, looks like a bar mitzvah boy. This must be a bar mitzvah because there's a simcha going on. And there's the tati of the bar mitzvah boy dressed up in a beautiful, beautiful, nice suit. Ooh, that must be the tati of the bar mitzvah boy. The Baal Shem Tov see this in the shul. And the tati of the bar mitzvah boy is saying, today is your bar mitzvah. I'm happy and upset at the same time. And the boy says, Tati, how come you're upset? You should be happy. It's my bar mitzvah. Well, it's your bar mitzvah, but yes, but we don't have any important guests. All we have is a bunch of poor people that live in the town. It's a bunch of poor people. But we don't have any important guests. And the boy says, well, Tati, who would be an important guest? And the Tati says, well, a big Talmud Chachem, or a big rabbi, or a Rav, you know, somebody important. He knows a lot of Torah, he's a big Talmud Chachem. But we're going to have a bunch of poor people, and farmers, and peasants, and people that live in the town. They're all a bunch of poor people. We don't have any important guests. Poor guests, but not important guests. Well, Tati, aren't the people of the town Jews also? Yeah, they're Jews, but you know, they're just poor people. They're not Talmudic Chachamim, they're not big rabbis or anything. I wish we had an important guest. So I'm happy it's your bar mitzvah, but I'm upset we don't have any important guests. What do you think of this man so far? What do you think about this man? He says he's got Yidden coming to his bar mitzvah, poor people, but no important guests. What do you think about this man so far? Well, okay, he thinks important would be like, you know, himself. Well, this man is a very rich man. Many of the fields around the town he owns. He's a very rich man. So a rich man, that's important. A big Talmud Chachem who knows a lot of Torah, that's important. A big rabbi, that's important. But these poor people, he does not consider them to be Chashiv Orachim, important guest. So he's upset about that. Well, this is what happened. All of a sudden, now, who was in the wagon outside of this shul? The Baal Shem Tov. All of a sudden, the man looks out of the shul and he sees this Yid, now the Baal Shem Tov looked like, you know, an important person. This is the time the Baal Shem Tov was known to be a tzaddik. He wasn't a hidden tzaddik, he was a big tzaddik. Well, if the man knew who the Baal Shem Tov was or not, all he knew was outside, sitting in a wagon, is some important-looking rabbi. Ooh, look! An important person! I'll invite him to the bar mitzvah. He looks like a big rabbi. That way we'll have an important guest by the bar mitzvah. And he runs out, and he says, Rabbi, Rabbi, I'm making a bar mitzvah for my boy today. Can you come to be my ora, my guest, my oirach? Baal Shem Tov says, oh, thank you very much. That would be very nice. Oh, the man was so excited. I've got an important guest, a big rabbi, a big Talmud Chacham. Oh, I can hardly wait. He'll make a speech. He'll talk Torah. Oh, even better, he'll listen to my speech. I'm going to make a speech, the man says. And he'll listen to your mimer and your pilpul, he says to the bar mitzvah boy. You'll have an important person listening to you and listening to me. Oh, I will listen to him also. He'll make a speech also, maybe. And the poor people, well, they'll just eat, you know. We'll give them food. Well, pretty soon, the guests start to come. Now, understand, they lived far, far away from any other place. And they were very poor people. Hard-working farmers. Hard-working poor people that lived in the town. Not just beggars. Well, there are a few beggars. If you make a simcha, by the way, you should know, it's very important to have a special table, special food for poor people and even beggars. You should never say, oh, I don't want beggars by my simcha, let them stay outside. This is very wrong. And no bracha comes from that. Unfortunately, now before, you know, the time of the Geula, and we still are not in Eretz Yisrael with all the brachas yet, there are such things as poor people, even beggars. And they should also be given food by a simcha, a chasana, or a bar mitzvah, or whatever the simcha is. And if a person says, I don't want poor people to come to my simcha and beggars, well, that is very not right. So, the people of the town were very poor, but they were very hardworking. There were some beggars, and the man did make tables for everyone. But the head table now sat him, the Baal Abbas, and the Bar Mitzvah boy, and the Baal Shem Tov. He had made an extra place, and you'll see why. Oh, I've got an important person! And he says to his son, you know, I invited the rabbi of the nearest town, which is still far away to come. I don't know if he's coming. I don't think he's coming. But at least we have an important rabbi to be an important guest, and he's sitting right here. Okay. And they started, you know, to wash, and they started all things at the bar mitzvah. And now, the Baal Abbas, the man making the bar mitzvah, says to the Baal Shem Tov, why don't you make the first speech? I would like to hear you make a speech for the covered of the bar mitzvah. Now, he expected the Baal Shem Tov to turn to him and say some kind of a big Dvar Torah, like a big Talmud Chacham, and he's talking to the rich man who's also a Talmud Chacham. But he was very surprised when the Baal Shem Tov did not turn to him. He turned to all the poor people. And he started saying, oh, I have a wonderful story. Who would like to hear a wonderful story? Well, all the poor people thought, you know, at first, that they were not going to be a part of the Simcha, really, because they don't know Torah. They had never learned. They hardly know how to read and daven. They could say tillim, but with mistakes. And if usually they went to some kind of a simcha and there were speeches, they never understood the speeches. So they thought that when this rabbi gets up to speak, they won't be able to understand. But he's saying to them, you want to hear a story? Oh yeah, we like stories. That we could understand. And the Baal Shem Tov began telling stories. Of course, stories about tzaddikim, stories from the Torah, but in such a way that everybody could understand. Oh, they loved it. They loved it. Oh, one story after another. They were so happy to hear these stories. They could understand every word. Well, they were very happy, but the man making the bar mitzvah was getting upset. Hey, wait a minute. This rabbi, he's just telling a bunch of stories to the poor people. I thought he was going to say some big Dvar Torah to me. Well, maybe he's not a big rabbi and not a big Talmud Chochem. Oh, I'm upset again. I want an important guest by my bar mitzvah, my son's bar mitzvah, and now I just have some person telling a bunch of stories. Ah, I'm going to go and get somebody important for my bar mitzvah. I don't want my boy to say his mimer and his pilpul until I have some big important rabbi. And he gets up from the table and he leaves. He goes to the wagon, he gets his driver, he says, let's go to the town where the rabbi is and bring the rabbi. He should be here as an important guest. The Baal Shem Tov could hear everything that he said. But the Baal Shem Tov did not get upset by what he said. Now how would you feel if somebody said, hey, you're not important, I'm going to get somebody more important than you. Well, the Baal Shem Tov, of course, was beyond this kind of thing. And he continued telling his stories to the people, and the man left to bring the rabbi. After a while, maybe an hour went by, all of a sudden, the wagon came back. The man had brought the rabbi. The bar mitzvah boy was left by the table, and the Baal Shem Tov had been talking also to the bar mitzvah boy once in a while about different things about bar mitzvah. So the bar mitzvah boy could see the Baal Shem Tov was not just stam a person, but he was a very, you know, special person telling him all kinds of things about a bar mitzvah. But a few minutes before the wagon came back with the man and the rabbi, the Baal Shem Tov had stopped speaking. He had stopped speaking to the people and he had stopped speaking to the boy. And all of a sudden, the Baal Shem Tov looked like far away, like he's looking far away. And all the poor people were just looking at him, waiting either for another story or maybe he's going to tell him something. Looked like he's thinking. And all of a sudden, the Baal Shem Tov, now this happened a few minutes before the wagon came back, the Baal Shem Tov starts to laugh. Now, when he laughed, it was such a laugh. And did you ever see somebody laugh, and you don't know what they're laughing about, but it must be so funny, you also start laughing. Because laughing is contagious. In other words, it spreads. One person's laughing, somebody else laughs. Like you have a warm thing next to a cold thing, the cold thing warms up because warmth is something that spreads. Well, the Baal Shem Tov laughed in such a way that even though nobody understood what the Baal Shem Tov was laughing about, it was so funny, they started laughing also. So all the poor people started laughing. Now, the strange thing is, and the story says this, so I wouldn't tell you otherwise, outside were their horses and their donkeys and goats. The horses also started laughing. The goats and the donkeys also started laughing. And the chickens even started laughing. And even the cows started laughing. And when this wagon pulled up in front of the shul, they heard laughing in the shul. And they heard laughing from the animals outside of the shul. And they couldn't figure out, what's all this laughing? What is this? Inside is jokes or something? This man was telling stories. Now he must be telling jokes. What's going on by the bar mitzvah now? And the man making the bar mitzvah with the rabbi from the next town come in and they see everybody laughing and the Baal Shem Tov is laughing and the bar mitzvah boy is laughing. And the man says, what's going on over here? What's all this laughing? I need an explanation. Why is all this laughing by the bar mitzvah? And the Baal Shem Tov says, well, why don't you sit down? And the rabbi sit down. Why don't you know there's only three chairs here? You sit down, the rabbi, I'll stand. No problem. And the Baal Shem Tov now says, well, a little while ago, while you were away getting the rabbi, I saw something far away. And what I saw far away, I must tell you about. Because there's something that was really something to be happy about. I wasn't just laughing, it's not a joke. Laughing because something, there's something here to be very happy about. And he says like this, far, far away from this place is another bar mitzvah. Another boy having his bar mitzvah. But it's much different than this bar mitzvah here. Far, far away from here is also a bar mitzvah, but it's very different. The bar mitzvah boy does not have a father. The father had passed away. He's not having his bar mitzvah in a shul, because where he lives there is no shul. And there's nobody to be guests, because there's no Jews in the place that he lives. He lives only with his mother. And the boy does not know anything about bar mitzvah or Torah or mitzvahs. He never had a chance to learn. The only thing that he knows is what his mother is telling him today. And she told her son, before your father passed away, he said on your bar mitzvah day, you should put on his tefillin. The father left the tefillin. And he showed the mother how to put the tefillin on the boy. That the boy should know how to put on the tefillin. The father showed how to put on the tefillin. So the mother will put on the tefillin on the bar mitzvah day. So the boy has tefillin. And he also said, explain to the boy that on the bar mitzvah day, you should be called up to the Torah in a minyan. Now, the father had passed away. They were too poor to live anywhere else than where they were. They could not live in a Jewish town for whatever reason. There was no minyan, there was no shul. And all the boy knew was two things. He should put on the tefillin, and he should have a minyan. And he didn't even know what a minyan was. His mother said, 10 Jews is a minyan, to get called up to the Torah. He says, well, I don't even know what it means to get called up to the Torah. I don't have a minyan. And the boy cried, and he says, I wish I could do what my father said to do. Well, he put on the tefillin. That he did. But then he said, my father said two things, put on the tefillin and make a minyan, or be called up to the Torah in a minyan. 10 people. I don't have 10 people. And the boy cried. Then all of a sudden he said, you know what? I'll do whatever I can. I'll do whatever I can. I can't do that, I'll do something. Better than nothing. Now the Baal Shem Tov again is telling everybody in the shul this story, this thing that he sees. This is happening the same day. The Baal Shem Tov could see this happening. He's telling everybody what he sees. Of course, as we know, the Baal Shem Tov had Ruach HaKodesh. The same kind of light from the first day that Adam HaRishon had. You could see from one end of the world to the other end of the world. The Baal Shem Tov is seeing this. The boy went out to the barn. They lived on a little farm. There was a barn. In the barn were the farm animals. Cows, sheep, goats, turkeys, chickens, ducks. And the boy gathered together 10 of his animals. He took a cow, he took a shepsela, he took a goat, he took a turkey, he took a chicken, he took a duck. He took the animals and he made a minyan of the animals. And he announced to the animals, today is my bar mitzvah. We're going to make a minyan. Here's the minyan. And all of a sudden, the cow starts going moo, and the duck starts going quack, quack, and the turkey makes turkey noises, and the chicken starts making gobbling chicken noises, and the goat makes goat noises, and all the animals make animal noises. Shh. And Kinalach, the Baal Shem Tov is telling this to the people in the shul, and they were all laughing. And the Baal Abbas, the man making the bar mitzvah, laughing. Yeah, oh, what a big joke. I see what you're laughing at. You're laughing at the boy. What a big joke that he did. Baal Shem Tov says, no. I'm not laughing at the boy because it's some kind of a joke. In the barn, besides the animals, came down the malachim from the shamayim, because there was such a halakhic light coming from that barn. Going up in the Shemayim, they came down to see what is making such a light from the world going up into the Shemayim. And they saw this boy in the barn with the animals saying, this is my minion. And the Malachim went to Hashem and they told Hashem what's going on, and Hashem was watching it himself. And the Malachim were having such a happy time, not laughing at the boy, laughing from the happiness of the happiness that was going in the Shemayim. The boy's happiness and the animal's happiness was going and making all the malachim and the shemayim to be happy. And even Hashem was becoming happy from this. And Hashem opened up all the gates of the Himmel. Because when Hashem is happy, all the gates are open. like a king when he makes a party. He's very nice to all the people, and he opens all the gates and he lets a lot of people in. The gates of the Shemayim were open. And the Baal Shem Tov says, I'm not laughing at the boy. I'm laughing with the Malachim and with Hashem, who's happy from the boy. And now it's a good time for your boy to say his Dvar Torah and whatever he's going to say, and because now all the gates of the Shemayim are open from this boy and his bar mitzvah. And now you can celebrate your bar mitzvah because this boy has opened all the gates of the Shemayim the way he celebrated his bar mitzvah. Now what do you think the lesson of the story is that this man learned? You don't necessarily know what's important in front of Hashem and what's not. He thought only some big Talmud Chacham is important, some big rabbi, the poor simple people are not important. What was important in front of the Eibishter? Even this simple boy who gathered together chickens and turkeys and goats and the cows, and he makes a bar mitzvah with a minion of animals? And you might laugh at this? No. This made a simcha in the Himmel. And to the Eibishter, this was very important. So don't judge a person, you know, this person is important, that person is not important. There's sometimes a thing you don't consider very important. By the Eibishter, it's very important. Okay. Bring, please, that ladybug over here. Bring the ladybug. I would like to see the ladybug. Bring the ladybug over here. Yes, very good. It's sick. Can you tell? It's a ladybug. Okay, put him on your desk. Let the ladybug lay down on your desk while I talk about the ladybug. Who would like to hear the story of the ladybug? Who is ready to hear the story of the ladybug? Now, this is a very... Who would like to hear the true story of the ladybug? If everyone is looking at my nose, I will tell right now the story of the ladybug. This is a very interesting story. It's not a story, it's a real thing. Are you ready? Okay, everybody will look at my nose. As soon as everybody is looking at my nose, I could tell you the story. One day, a boy found a little ladybug. And the little boy wondered, why did Hashem make the ladybug? What would be different in the world if there were no ladybugs? My Rebbe told me, everything Hashem made is for a reason. If Hashem created it, if Hashem made it and put it in the world, it's got a purpose. It's got a reason that it's there. It does something important in the world. That's why Hashem put it there. What important thing does a ladybug do? Yeah, it's cute. It's a little bug, you know. It has red with some spots, and it flies and it goes. But, I mean, what would be different in the world if there were no ladybugs? Wouldn't it be exactly the same? So what? No ladybugs. Every day, do you think about a ladybug? You probably go... days and weeks, even months, and even years, not even thinking about a ladybug. In fact, some boys might be thinking, what's a ladybug? I don't even know what it is. I never saw it. Ooh, there it is. Oh yeah, a boy has a ladybug. Yeah, I never saw that. It's a ladybug. That means you've gone 6 years of your life and you've never seen a ladybug. So, let's say there was no ladybugs. What would be different in the world? Why did Hashem make them in the first place? Now, let me tell you the story of the ladybug. Now, let's talk about another character in the story called the aphid. Okay? Aphids are little tiny bugs. They're much tinier than a ladybug. Now, you might think, well, what are these little aphids? I never even saw one. Well, probably I never saw one either, maybe in a picture. Well, it so happens that ladybugs love to eat aphids. That is their favorite food. Maybe it's their only food. I don't know exactly the diet of the ladybug, if it eats like pizza or hot dogs or whatever it eats, or if it eats different things, but I'll tell you one thing that the ladybug loves to eat, or maybe that's all it eats, is aphids. It's time for supper in Ladybug House. Come for supper, little ladybugs. What's for supper, Mommy? Delicious aphids. Those little insects, little bugs called aphids. We're all having aphids. Oh, yay! Aphids for supper. Mmm, delicious, the aphids. They catch the aphids and eat them. What's for breakfast? Aphid cereal, or just aphids. What's for lunch? An aphid sandwich, or maybe not a sandwich. Aphids. All we know is that ladybugs eat aphids. There are such things as aphids. Now, let's pretend that one day there are no ladybugs. That means the ladybugs are not eating aphids. And it seems that nobody else is going to eat aphids either. Because it seems that ladybugs eat aphids, and nobody else likes to eat aphids, only ladybugs. So, are there aphids? Yes. Are there ladybugs?
Yeah.
No. We're pretending there's no ladybugs. So, what's the big deal? There's little tiny aphids and no ladybugs. So what? Well, Kinalach, remember we just learned about being fruitful and having babies? Okay, well, different animals and birds and fish, like we learned, and even aphids have babies. They have baby aphids. There are now going to be a lot of baby aphids. They have a lot of little baby aphids. And no ladybugs to eat them up. Well, more and more aphids. Nobody eating them up. More and more aphids. Do you remember the kinin in Mitzrayim, the makah of lice, also little bugs? What could be such a makah? What could be such a plague, a terrible thing in Mitzrayim with little tiny bugs? Why was that a plague? They're little tiny. You know why? There were so many, they were covering every place. The whole ground was covered with them like a gigantic snowstorm. Right? The kinim were everywhere. They were like deep snow. People were walking through the kinim, and the kinim were sticking on them, right? After 5 years, from the day that the ladybugs left the planet, no ladybugs in the whole universe. Do you know what it would be like outside 5 years later? There would be so many aphids that you could not even open the door to your house to go out. The aphids would be 10 feet high, covering the earth, like a gigantic snow. And if you try to go out of your house, you have to go through mountains of aphids. Try to find your car. It's buried under piles of aphids. And of course, they're crawling on you. And they're getting into your house. They're getting everywhere. Aphids are covering the world. Everywhere you go. You can't even see the sidewalk. It's covered with aphids. You can't see the street. You can't even find your house almost. It's buried under a pile of aphids. Because there were so many baby aphids and nobody eating them up. Now let's think about the ladybugs. Do we want them back in the world? Do we miss them or not? When they were here, you can go in, out of your house, you can go on the sidewalk, you can walk somewhere, you can go somewhere, no problem. When you go to bed, you have a quilt. Without the ladybug, you can't go out of your house, you can't go on the street, you can't even find your car. You go in bed, you have a quilt, plus a whole pile of aphids on top of you, crawling all over the place, under your quilt. In your ears, not just under your ears, in your ears. How many boys already miss ladybugs? Who wants ladybugs back in the world? Now, let's put ladybugs back in the world and there are no aphids, and you see a ladybug. Do you feel that this thing has no importance and no purpose, or this is a very important thing that Hashem put in the world? How many boys think the ladybug now is a very important part of Hashem's world because it gets rid of aphids? So everything has a purpose. Rabbi Barstein, what do aphids do in the world? Well, that's a good question. I knew somebody would ask that. But I don't know the answer to that, actually. I found out about ladybugs, but I didn't yet find out about aphids. If I'd find out about aphids, probably we'd find out something about aphids. Maybe they eat something, or whatever they do.